should you really tip when you dine out? What's fair? On today's Radio Nibbles, John Lendorf and Kate Januska, author at Boulder Weekly, talk about tipping, a living wage, and Boulder restaurants. Good morning.
Good morning, and welcome out there in the KGNU world, around the gigantic kitchen table here at KGNU. This morning, we're talking about a really touchy subject. Mm-hmm. Should you tip? Why do you have to tip? And what does that mean to the people who are actually working in restaurants and all that stuff? Kate, you recently wrote a story looking into the whole question of tipping and a living wage in light of labor issues and rising food costs and everything else. So remind people about the story.
Well, thanks for having me today, by the way. But yeah, I wrote a story for Boulder Weekly's Feast publication about tipping post-COVID. With all that's gone on in terms of the labor market, inflation, as you've said, or the restaurants closing for an extended period changed things as well. When restaurants came back afterward, a lot of them used it as a reset on their tipping policies. So yes, we have been noticing a difference as customers. And a lot of it does have to do with a living wage and making things fair.
Explain what that, people don't always look at the bill, you know. They see the bottom line, but if you look at on a lot of restaurant tickets, you'll see it'll say living wage or back of house or why that is.
Yeah, traditionally there would be the tip line alone after the cost of the meal, and that would be up for the customer to decide. But lately there has been more massaging of the guest check, as you will, to perhaps give more tips to the back of the house rather than just the front of the house, the server keeping the tips. Other places are now doing house tips pooled, meaning that the amount you tip doesn't go just to your server, but goes into a pool that's divided by merit among the entire staff. What restaurants are really trying to do here is even out the differences between the front of the house and the back of the house.
I spent my entire career in restaurants in the back of the house. Mm. That's the dirty, hot, noisy, difficult part of a restaurant. So, and I'd see these waiters and waitresses making vast amounts of money, and the cooks not so much. And so it became very hard to even hire cooks.
Indeed. And I worked the front of the house when I was younger, because it is kind of, in my opinion, a young person's game. The salary can be very variable, which as an adult is hard to deal with. So yes, it looks like the front of the house is taking a lot of cash over the table. But what a lot of people don't understand is that servers are one of the very few industries that have a tipped minimum wage rather than a minimum wage. So nationally, that hasn't risen since 1996. You get $2.13 an hour plus tips nationally. Now in Colorado, that is higher, $7.25 an hour. Plus tips, which obviously the tips are doing a lot of work there. Now, the back of the house may get more hourly, but it may not add up to the same amounts. And herein you see the complexities, is that both sides of the house contribute to the dining experience, and yet they're paid in different ways, appreciated in different ways, judged in different ways. And some of these new policies you'll see on the tip line are trying to even those things out or just make them more transparent.
Let's talk about some of the specific people that you talk to. For instance, you talked to Lisa Balcom at Faro Restaurant in Niwa. Tell me a little bit about what she said about the whole tipping living wage thing.
Oh, well, it was fascinating. They were very, very thoughtful when they opened up after COVID. And they decided that they were doing no tip line, just a percentage tip on the bill. So diners do not have to think about how much they want to do. They make sure that all of their customers are paying a flat fee, no need to think about tips, and they're giving their employees a great wage. She made the awesome point of there's no other industry where the boss doesn't get to decide the take-home pay of the employees. She's the one who trains them. She's the one who makes sure that they stick around, that they do a great job. And she would like to make sure that they make a living wage. And when put in those terms, it really does make sense. What other industry do you get to decide how much money as a salary the person that was working for you takes home?
Well, I noticed when I went to Staples, I didn't tip the person at the counter. When I went to the grocery store, somebody helps me find a product. I don't hand them a $10 bill.
Right. And do you think that more restaurants will try to shift towards that? Do you think that tipping as a percentage will kind of, we're shifting away from that? Or do you think that that is just, you know, not really a reality that we're going to be seeing?
I don't think tipping as a percentage is going anywhere. As Farrell pointed out, if one restaurant or two restaurants put the entire tip into the cost on the menu, suddenly they look incredibly overpriced and you can't shop restaurants. But whereas Farrell is doing, they're keeping the price on the menu and then adding that afterwards so you can still look at the menu and compare costs. So I don't think the percentage is going anywhere.
The problem with the way that chefs have put it to me, and we should note that there were a bunch of restaurants that Kate approached and people I've talked to who actually treat their employees very well, but they did not want to be quoted or talk about this on the record because it's a very touchy thing. And what they say to me is, are you willing to pay $30 for a cheeseburger? If every menu item accurately reflected all the costs and everything, would you pay it? But that doesn't seem right either.
Now, I spoke to The Sink, speaking of hamburgers. They have three owners. But one of the owners said to me, one of the reasons it's hard to discuss is because talking about pooling tips from the front of the house takes money from the servers to the back of the house. So it's always a little bit of a balancing it. Someone's always a little unhappy. But he also made the great point of, if you're planning on tipping 20%, which is standard for good service, if it's great service, tip more. If you're planning on tipping 20% and they add that 20% automatically at the end, you're still paying the same amount. So it's still a $30 burger. It's just you saw the 20-something price on the menu and you're paying the $30 after you add the tip. So it's really just psychological math.
What does this mean for patrons? How should they go about tipping, or what should we look for?
My advice is, if you can't tip properly, don't go out to eat.
Indeed.
Yeah. For the restaurants, this is really going to be an ongoing challenge.
I would suggest just maybe shift your perspective a little bit, too, is that think of it as any other job. At Staples, they earn salary and you don't tip. Maybe just start to think about servers in a new way.
And shifting gears a little bit, John, what is your most recent story about food?
Normally, I talk about my column, but today, the fabulous Best of Boulder Awards comes out in the Boulder Weekly, and there's dozens and dozens of food categories. Being the food editor, I, of course, wrote half of the blurbs. I won't ruin the surprise when you pick it up or read it online, but see if you can tell which ones I wrote. That's your quiz, but that's in today's, and this is a chance to maybe find some new restaurants that you want to patronize.
And what's the best thing you've tasted lately?
I'm going to give this one, well, we'll do this one together. Kate?
Not a new one, but an old favorite is I went to date night at Ras Casa. Absolutely love the new location, the staff. It's still an amazing experience. Everybody go out there.
And, you know, you don't have to use utensils.
No, use your fingers.
That sounds fun and enjoyable.
Yeah.
Well, you can listen to podcasts of previous Radio Nibbles at news.kgnu.org. Thanks, Kate and John.
Thank you.
I hope everyone will join us next Thursday. Of course, we'll have Radio Nibbles, but that will immediately be followed by the fabulous Kitchen Table Talk with my co-host, Chef Dan Asher. It's an hour. We take calls. And so I hope you tune in for that next Thursday.